Before I start, I just wanted to let you know that I'm not exactly stuck on days and times and seasons and all that stuff. And I know that America is celebrating Easter today, and you know that too. And some of you might even have gotten Friday off because it was a good Friday. And not sure why, but they say it was a good Friday, and we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday next Sunday, for more than just one reason. But I hope that you don't get stuck on days. I remember the first time I decided not to do Resurrection Sunday on the accepted day was in Germany, and man, oh man, did I ever get some flack. The guy that was in charge over there, he just thought that was the worst thing I could have ever done. I said, well, whatever, but that's what we decided to do, our fellowship in Munich, and we did it, and we're still alive today. It's amazing. But Galatians is pretty clear about not being a respecter of days. And I do believe that means every kind of day. And so, okay. Well, why don't we do what we usually do? Usually I just do this at the area fellowships. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. En español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. That's absolutely marvelous. And today we shall study a little bit about the renewed mind. I thought that would be appropriate, especially on the heels of what I just taught, giving yourself perhaps the greatest gift you ever could, stop traumatizing yourself. And now to look further into the mind and the power that we have with a renewed mind. It's very exciting. I guess I have my own perceptions and my own beliefs about what people go through and what their perceptions are regarding deliverance and spiritual health, spiritual halitosis, which would be, that means bad breath, but it also means the bad side of things, not health. And just overall, how they perceive why they have problems. And I in no wise want to discount what Peter says about your adversary, the lion, where he walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. But there's a like a beginning point that you really need to consider. You are a Christian, and spiritually speaking, you have no halitosis. You are crystal light, and you are absolutely brilliant in God's sight. In the devil's sight, you're too brilliant. And yet, my bias, my perception tells me that most people don't believe that. It tells me that most people live under a weighty gun, waiting for something to happen, waiting for some kind of pain, waiting for some kind of negative, waiting for something bad. And, excuse me, as Christians, that just doesn't work. But if we force ourselves into that kind of mindset, we end up believing that life is supposed to be like that. But I want to tell you that it's not. I want to tell you that life is supposed to be, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to tell you that life is supposed to be triumphant in Christ. I want to tell you that life is supposed to be exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so if life truly is supposed to be like those positives that I just cited, and if we truly have a contention within us where we're unable to break through, where we're unable to free ourselves, well, we need to address that. And in a way, I'm at a loss. In a way, I'm not. I know things to say. And I know that things will be there to say. But at the same time, when dealing with entrenched mindsets, it becomes difficult. Because people get offended. You know the truth, but you don't like hearing the truth. And that's like if you're counseling somebody, you got to deal with, let's say you got to deal with somebody in your life, in your family or at work, and they're obviously being absolutely terrible in some way. But when you speak the truth to them, you know that they hear the truth. It does its thing. And so you could preface whatever you have to say to them with, well, you know that this is the truth, but you're not going to want to hear it. You've probably heard that kind of statement before. And that's why. Because people have such a conflict within that they don't want to receive. They don't want to change. They're embarrassed. But it's not even that kind of stuff. It's really more the conflict. Because when you walk into somebody's life and you want to tell them the truth and tell them that they're not going to want to receive it, you know, you got to take a look at them, because they're in a battle and you're trying to nose in to a battle. The generals are all giving orders and the captains are all ordering all the lieutenants, and the lieutenants are all telling the corporals to get down in the ditch and fire. And so you got all this commotion, heavy artillery's coming in, and you walk in there and you're trying to tell the generals to stop and the captains to stop and lieutenants to stop and the corporals to stop firing because you've got something to say. Now, that's not going to go over very well. Hence, the resistance. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? But it's true. Look at you. If somebody comes in and tells you the truth, don't tell me that. I'm a Christian. You know what I'm talking about. It's just funny. It's just the way it is. I'm that way. But I want to change. I don't want any conflicts. That is the bottom line, my friends. I don't want conflicts within me. That's why the renewed mind's so important, because it is the key to that. You know, if you could get to a place where you didn't have conflicts inside, more than likely you have a thought process that has blanketed every activity you've ever done. After a certain point in your life, it started at a certain point, and then it's been blanketing ever since. So when you watch movies, when you visit people, when you're around friends or family, when you're at work, when you're at play, no matter what you're doing, it's there. And it influences everything. And you've learned to live with it. You actually might even enjoy it. But you hate it, because it's a conflict. We want to get to the place where we're free. Jesus said that. If you shall know the truth, you shall be free indeed. And that is absolutely possible. But in order for that to happen, your mind must be renewed to God's word. All of your mind. Now, in the Greek, we've learned about the mind. Most of you should be familiar with phroneo, with nous, and with cardia. Phroneo are those thoughts, just the passing thoughts. Nous is your understanding, and cardia is your heart. And so that's the biblical take. And then on the secular take, you've got the conscious and the subconscious. And they talk about the ego, the id, and all that stuff. And they say that your conscious really is only about 10% of your processing. The subconscious is about 90%. And so based on that, there's people out there that teach that you can heal just by thought, just by being positive and all. I don't buy that, because, I mean, yeah, maybe it does work, and I'm not debating that at all. I really don't care for that field that much. But there are some things we can glean from it. But I don't want to turn myself into a god. I don't want to be one of those modernists that basically can be a god. I can just will anything. Your will is so weak that it really almost doesn't play into the power that you have within your mind if you renew it. Your will falter because of emotion and circumstance. But what doesn't falter, if you do it right, is what you put in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now that's not going to falter. You've got your core beliefs. Things that people could never talk you out of. That's where you might falter if you don't have the right beliefs. And so if you're contending with something that you hate, and sometimes might even enjoy, how weird that is, you might have a problem down in the core system where you actually have to change what you believe. What you believe greatly determines how you act. And your behavior defines you. And so a Christian wants to behave according to God's word, because God's word tells it all. Now, we know that God's word is light. So the idea is to introduce light and dispel darkness. Now, what's the darkness? Well, that would be the conflict. The thing that you hate, but maybe enjoy because you've talked yourself into accepting that you'll never get rid of this thing, whatever it is. But I would like to defy that, because we have the ability to renew our minds. And if you introduce the word, you just keep introducing the word, can we call it God's thoughts? Oh, so if you introduce God's thoughts and you keep introducing God's thoughts, you just keep introducing God's thoughts, those thoughts become your thoughts. That's beautiful. As you maintain God's way of thinking, there's a filtering that takes place, and those words settle down deep within you. And so that's how you establish your belief system. And that's how you firm or shore up your core system of beliefs, by letting God's thoughts filter like sifting sand down inside you. Okay, that's a daily process. And you say, well, I do that. And I say, well, I know that. But you have the conflict. Why do you have the conflict? And a lot of times, and I would say most of the time, in fact, maybe all of the time with Christians, it's because they're being chased by themselves. They think that they're not crystal light. They think that they're not brilliant in God's sight. They think, well, they don't even think about that, actually, after a certain point. And they forget, if they ever even learned, that they're so bright that the devil can't even look at them. And so that becomes a very big problem. And that's why the generals get to order all the commands, and the captains then try to follow them, and the lieutenants run off and talk to the sergeants, and then the sergeants are bossing everybody underneath them. And then you have this conflict. And so you've got two arenas of activity. You've got God's thoughts filtering in, which most people don't have a problem doing. Reading the word, reciting the word, speaking the word. And then you've got this thing over here where you don't believe who you are. You don't believe how bright you are. And you really don't believe that you're not being chased. Because it feels like it. It feels like you're being chased. Oh, it really feels like it. You think that, you know, your life is about ready to end some days. But is it? Is it so real to you that you believe that? And so we have to get to the place where we accept who we are in Christ. We have to get to the place where we believe that we are the light of this world. And understand that we're not being chased, but that our problems more than likely stem from a lack of the renewed mind. And I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, I've been wondering, how am I ever going to relate all of this stuff? Because it's like Jose's sister at 72, it took her 50 years or so to come out of religion and actually have an inquisitive mind. And I don't know how long it will take anybody to stop focusing on the conflict and start focusing on who he or she is in Christ. I don't know. I know it's taken me a long time. And I really believe that understanding more about the mind has helped me. Because if I wasn't being chased, what was happening? I mean, isn't that a good question? Because something's happening. You know, your mind doesn't forget. You might forget, but we're talking phroneo versus nous versus cardia here. So be careful which one you're blaming or believing in. And understand that it doesn't forget anything. It has ways of relieving pressure. It works a certain way that you didn't design, but it still just does its thing. And I do believe that the nature of the beast is healing. I don't believe that God put us here to literally just die the next day. The mind has a way of repairing itself. But you have to let that happen. And I touched on this in that last teaching where I didn't use this example, but the monks go off. Now the monks are even messed up. They're all getting so fat, they're putting them on diets, I guess. I thought that was one of the funniest things I ever heard. Anyway, the monks go off into the monasteries and live alone and try to reach tranquility, you know. Boy, if that isn't selfish, I don't know what is. But then they offer monasterial space to people who want to go spend a month trying to get their head together. The idea is peace, peace of mind. So if you can calm yourself down enough, then your mind can start doing its thing. But that's not realistic. You can't just go off to a monastery once a year for a month and try to get your life together, because as soon as you come back, man, smacko. So there's got to be a better way. And we get to a place where we accept the way things work, which then becomes key to our deliverance. because you've got to trust in a greater power. You've got to trust in a greater principle than you. You've got to have something to trust in that you trust. And that becomes crucial. Because what you've done in your conflict, and the generals will be the first to tell you this, don't you trust in this. Go ahead and read it every day and pray. But don't trust in it. And I'm holding up the Bible. That's sick. That's sick. But that's where our heads are at if we can't come out of a conflict. We've got to trust in the power of the Almighty God by allowing his thoughts to sift like sand into the depths of our hearts. And as we do that, our belief system will be established. And as I said before, most of you don't have a problem with that. Most of us, I should say. But you've got the other side of the coin where you have to believe that you're light and that you're not being chased. That's sickening to think that. That some of you would actually believe that you're possessed. That you believe that you've got a devil spirit personally assigned to you sitting on your shoulder. Oh my gosh. Why would people get to that point? Because they've never really learned how to renew their mind. They don't know. They just don't know. It's got to be that simple. They don't know that God designed you with healing in mind. That if you stay your mind on Him, you will be in peace. And that He wants you to have peace. He knows that you can't run off to the monastery. He knows that. So He gave you the Prince of Peace. Within you resides the Prince of Peace. There's no running needed. There's a refocus needed, and an acceptance needed, and a trust needed. And you might have to talk to yourself a little bit, because you talked yourself into the problem. So you need to talk yourself out of the problem. And don't be afraid. That's the next thing that comes up. People don't want to renew their mind and go through the enriching experience because they're afraid. Well, somebody's going to find out. I'm going to be exposed. I'm ashamed. I'm guilty. I'm frustrated. I feel horrible about my past life and all the things that I've done and whatever it is. And all those battles. You know, it took me a lot of money and a lot of time to hire those generals. And they're working for me now. Can you see it? Can't you see the conflict in me? I'm not living a more than abundant life. I'm telling everybody I am, but I'm not. I'm not living the triumphant life in Christ. I'm telling everybody I am, but I'm not. I'm going through the motions. And it looks pretty good, doesn't it? But it's not what God really wants. He wants us free. Jesus said to his disciples, you shall be free indeed. My gosh. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to live that prophecy? What's it going to take? Well, I know what it's going to take. It's going to take the renewed mind. So you can be filled with the power of God, but only to the extent that you believe His word and renew your mind will it truly be manifested. That's the power of the renewed mind. That renewed mind is not only the key to power, but it's also the key to life itself. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Man, this isn't just a selfless thing or selfish thing. This is selfless. This is where we're all connected. You know, we're all members one of another. It's big. This is so big. The context is putting on the new man. Putting on the new man. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The context is bringing yourself to the place where you live that righteous life, where you live that true holiness. That's the message here. And it's all about the renewed mind. But we're all connected. That's what it says in verse 25. So this isn't something you just go off and do on your own. This is like a networking thing. We're all networked together. We've got Ethernet cables plugged into us. We're all in a wireless system or something, but we're all connected. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know, that's funny. I thought he was chasing me. Now I'm not supposed to give place to him? Well, that means I'm chasing him. I'm running after him and his things. Am I? Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. See, we're all networked. We're supposed to be ministering grace unto each other, edifying each other. Don't let anything else come out of your mouth. See, this is all that walk of righteousness and true holiness. I mean, you have to get to a place where you look it, where you sound it, where you live it. Not just in front of your mirror, but with everybody. This is a networking thing. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed. We forgive. The reason people don't forgive is because they forgot that they were forgiven. But we forgive. That's really important. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Man, what a beautiful way to live. But this is that life of righteousness. It's the life of true holiness. These are the words that we let filter into our heart and we become those. But we also have to renew our mind and get to that place where we see ourselves as brilliant, as lights of this world, and stop thinking that you're being chased around by the devil. Oh, he's there. Just don't give place to him. Remember, he can't stand looking at you because you're too bright for him. Who's going to believe that one? People believe that the devil just can do whatever he wants. Well, he can't. He's a god of this world, and he has power over the darkness of this world. But he doesn't have power over you. You have power over you. You make your choices. This is that 90% part. The conscious, the subconscious, the understanding, the cardia. You make your choices. Nobody ever makes your choices for you. You couldn't pawn that off on the highest court in the land. You make your choices. You always make your choices. I don't care what your conflict is like. If your conflict feels so tough that I'm not making my choices. Look at the conflict in me. That's making my choices. I would say you're a liar. You're full of it. You make your choices and your behavior defines who you are. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can believe that you're being chased, and that's all well and good. But at some point, you've got to trust in the greater power. You've got to trust in the knowingness of God, that when he designed you to work. And I don't mean plow a field. He designed your mind to work a certain way. And you can trust in that. You can let go of your fears. You can let go of your worries that you'll never get delivered and that this conflict will always remain. By trusting in the greater power and accepting that he put the Prince of Peace in you for a reason, so that you could trust in him and be healed. So that the conflict would just vanish. No conflict. So that when you walk on this earth, you are at peace. If there was one goal for the renewed mind in my life, I'd say I'd want it to be that. To be at peace. To not ever look through tainted eyes. Ever. Tainted eyes are caused by the conflict that rages within because of a lack of the renewed mind. When you look at movies and you're with your friends and your family and you go through every nuance in life and look through those tainted eyes, you are not at peace. You're not free. And that can be removed by trusting in God, in his design, that if you allow the peace of God, which passes understanding to reign within you. Then this healing can start to take place. That's why we say, you know, put away everything for months, you know, 3 or 4 months. All your reading materials and all your TV stuff and just all the worldly stuff, just put it away and get peaceful. Your neighbors won't recognize you. They really won't. Now, you've heard that before, but maybe now in a different light. Romans 6, verse 4. You know, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that wonderful? Romans 6, 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. My friends, newness of life is available. And I don't mean whimsical, and I don't mean just while you're at fellowship or just today, but I mean once this thing catches on, that's the way it stays. Your heart is released from conflict. Like when they untether a hot air balloon and it just flies off the earth. That's exactly what can happen to you. Newness of life. Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You don't have the God of sin running after you and possessing you and sitting on your shoulder and controlling you. My goodness gracious alive, think about this. If you think that the conflict in you is because you're possessed, man, oh man, you've been duped. Do you know that the devil can't even stand to be in the same room as you? He can't even stand to be in the same state as you. And if there's enough for you in the same country, he just can't stand you. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. That's fantastic. You have to have a mindset that these truths are more than just words on a page, but that you truly can walk in newness of life and that you truly can have this deliverance. 1 Peter. Most people, you know, I've told people, I said, you know, after fellowship, why don't you go take a walk with God, get to know him? Why don't you just go talk with him? See what it's like to actually have a really cool conversation and become one with him for a few minutes, you know? But a lot of people don't do that. What about this? What about continuing to allow the word to filter into your heart? Which I think most of us do. And then at the same time, reestablish your belief system. Get busy. Do it. It's one thing to let the word filter in. It's entirely another to reestablish your belief system. That you trust in God. That you trust in his words. And in his power, and in his design, that you believe that you are the light of the world, that you accept your brilliancy, and that you're not being chased, that your life is not threatened every minute, that you're free, that when you walk, when you drive, when you live, you're free. Like the hot air balloon, untethered. It just goes. You're free. You're free like the wind. You're free. You're released. Oh, your mind remembers everything, though. But you can't call that a devil. It remembers everything. And when you get under pressure, it's going to do its job. It's going to work. It's going to do everything that God designed it to do. Trust in the Maker. He made you so that you could live. So it's busy doing stuff, helping you out, helping you through hard times, helping you through emotions, helping you understand, helping you perceive. It's busy, 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 busy. Sometimes it gets overloaded, but then God gave you the Prince of Peace. So you can cool it a little bit. That healing starts to happen. I'm going to tell you something. If you really let this healing happen, better said, if you really accept peace, that it abides within you, your life is going to be a rocket to the moon. People won't know you. They won't know you because of your behavior, but they also won't know you because of your changed perceptions. You won't be looking through tainted eyes anymore. You won't be looking across the battlefield through the smoke and the haze and the artillery. You'll be free. Not only will you be brilliantly illuminated, but you'll see crystal clear. It's an entire transformation. And that's why we walk in newness of life. Verse 13, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You gird up the loins of your mind. Wow. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. You're thinking, I don't know how I can do that. I have that conflict. I'm telling you that when that thing disappears, it disappears forever. Even though your mind remembers all this stuff, it's not going to keep coming back like you think it is. You'll get so delivered, you'll be transformed. You'll be a new man, a new woman with a renewed mind. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify means blow to smithereens. You don't accept any of that stuff anymore. See, you got a core system of belief. You got all this word that's filtering down there that says, fornication is wrong. Uncleanness is wrong. Inordinate affection is wrong. Evil concupiscence is wrong. Covetousness is wrong. You got all that in your head. But what do you got over here? Well, wait a minute. Inordinate affection, concupiscence, whatever. It's following me around. You know, and you think you're being thwarted by Satan himself. But we were supposed to avoid the devil. That's what we just learned. That's choice. Anyway, you clean that part up and you just stop whatever it is. And, you know, a lot of people, actually, this gets real interesting, too, because a lot of people get really good at not doing the bad thing anymore, whatever it is. But then they don't do anything with their mind except say, no, I'm not going to do that. And they spend their whole life going, no, I'm not going to do that. 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 Over and over and over and over and over, thinking that's going to fix them. That's an important part of it, but it's not the entire part of it. The rest of it is in the mind. You actually have to trust in the greater power. You actually have to renew your mind to the Word. You actually have to believe that you are the light of the world. You actually have to dissolve relationships with anything inordinate. That's true. But you have to do something inside here too. And it comes down to trusting in God, that He made you a certain way, that if you accept the Prince of Peace, that if you accept peace, that if you stay your mind on Him, life and peace, that when that peace finally is there, it's what roots out the conflict. It roots it out. What do you want? Do you want whatever it is that you love and hate, as ridiculous as that sounds, within you to be removed? Or do you want it to stay? Do you want your life to be like the hot air balloon and you just wave at everybody from 30,000 feet? Or do you want to be tethered? Now, maybe you got long tethers and you go, well, I'm kind of free. I'm not like right down on the earth anymore. What do you want? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do? Oh my gosh, Jesus Christ died for you. He died for you so that you could be free. But are they just words on a page? Or have you been untethered? Oh gosh, this is just kind of fun, I guess. Colossians 3. Did I read verse 10? 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. That's what we do. We put on the new man. The new man is renewed in knowledge. So our new mind is renewed in knowledge according to God's word. Everything that we ever received, we received when we got that gift. Now it's up to us. You know, is it a gift or is it a curse? Because if I didn't get delivered, I don't even know why I got it in me. I mean, what do you think? How long are you going to go through the motions? Jose's sister, 50 years. Now she's finally listening. Praise God for that, right? But how long are we going to go through the motions? When are we going to put it on? Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Man, people complain so much today, they don't have any thankfulness. Both husband and wife work. They got more money than they know what to do with, and they complain. They just complain. They're not thankful. We're supposed to be thankful. Thankfulness is a great key to releasing that peace. You just be thankful. You stop complaining. We're called in one body. This is not just a selfish thing. This is that networking thing again. We're all supposed to be together. Wow, it's really beautiful. I love verse 16. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I really believe that if you put the junk away for a few months, you would transform. And so we've talked about how to renew the mind, where you put the word in, you let it filter into your heart. It becomes part of your subconscious. Now, the Word of God is healing. And as you take in the Word of God, it does marvelous things. It just does that. And you don't have to worry that it's not going to work. Like the way you worry that you're not working. You know, the reason that you're not working, and I'm not talking about plowing a field, the reason that you're not working is because you're not renewing your mind yet. The renewed mind is the key to power and life itself. And so if you're anxious or desirous that your mind starts working the way it was designed, then keep renewing your mind to the Word. Keep letting God's thoughts become your thoughts. Study the Word. That's how you do it. You get that Word inside you, and then you live the Word. If you study the Word, you will be living it. I mean, how could you avoid it? Why would you study it and then not do it? Why would you study it and not trust it? Why would you study it and not accept it? You just wouldn't. In fact, you'll find that when you come up to people and they, no thanks, when you bring up study, that's how big their conflict is. You can't even get close. They got so many generals in there fighting each other, you can't even be heard. Sometimes the conflict is pretty tough. I mean, sometimes you wonder if you could live another day. But that ought not so to be. If that hot air balloon can release, and if you've got the Prince of Peace, then you should be free. That's my take on it. Romans 12. I believe you can become free. I really do. You know why? Oh, there's so many reasons. You know, we know that the earth stood in the water and out of the water, was overflowed with water, and it perished. The earth that then was. We know that in Genesis, God said, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth became without form. It was something before, and now you're living here today. It's not that same thing. It's just not. It never, ever has gone back to that same thing. If that's not enough onus to trust that if you do it God's way, you're never going to be the same either, I don't know what else there is. Oh, maybe Jesus Christ. Because he did die. And then God did raise him from the dead. And then he seated him at his right hand, ever to be with the Father. And he still is there. Well, there's two sterling examples that when you do things God's way, there's no regression. And if you renew your mind according to the Word, there will be no regression for you either. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. When we think soberly, according to this measure of faith, even if you don't feel like it, things happen. So think soberly all the time. Now, aren't these sober thoughts? These things that we were just discussing? Every day you can remember that if you stay at peace and allow that peace to transpire in your life, your mind's going to work. And your mind, your subconscious, your heart is going to heal you. No, I'm not going to say I can heal myself by my thoughts. because I don't want to be a god. I'm going to let God do it, though, because God designed me. And he allows me to work properly if I renew my mind and allow his words to filter in and then understand that I'm so bright, that I'm such a brilliant illumination of Christianity because of the gift within me, that it's hands off for the devil. I really get to live my life under no onus, within no conflict, totally free. That's what we've been called to do. If you don't have that, how are you going to do all the other stuff? So let us think soberly. Let us be ever so deliberate with every thought. And really it comes down to the conflict, doesn't it? The old man versus the new man. It comes down to truly wanting, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. It comes down to truly accepting the plead from God himself. I beseech you, therefore, I beseech you, I beseech you, I beg of you, please, if you don't listen to anything else, listen to this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or religious service. You can never get to the place where you present your body as a living sacrifice. Better said, where your behavior is defining you as a Christian, unless you, verse 2, and be not transformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You no longer are tethered to this world, tethered to every valley, every hill, every river, every plateau, every meadow, every city, every road, every person. You are no longer tethered to any vice, any inordinance of any sort, if you allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And why would you really do this? Is this a selfish act where you go live in the monastery for years and get fat? Is that really what it's all about? No, it's not. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My friends, that is God's will. Thank you.